Queensland's dwindling milk market is getting a shake-up. But as processors scramble to shore up supply, is it too little too late to turn around the dairy doldrums in the Sunshine State? So far, it's the new kid on the milk block, Bega, who's been making the big moves in a three-way tussle with its competitors Lactalis and Norco. But in the state's far north, farmers had missed out on any price increase until yesterday. I spoke to Bega boss Barry Irvin, who told me that there's been no actual change to the market fundamentals, but the company's change of heart is being driven by growing recognition that the supply chain can't afford any drop in milk volumes.
It's about numbers of farmers, but it's also about whether those, you know, the volumes of milk we can receive from those farmers. So I would say that we are at a point where we need to make sure that we are not seeing further reduction in supply. Indeed, we need to be trying to encourage growth. But as I said, we need to do that in a responsible manner. Our ambition, just to be clear, our ambition is to make sure we keep that facility there and we start to grow the opportunity, not see it diminished.
Barry Irving, do you accept that that will be too little, too late for some? And what do you say to them?
The pricing is the strongest pricing in Australia. Queensland milk pricing is the strongest pricing in Australia, but it would be wrong to assume that we can reverse that in a 6 month period for something that, when I look at the history, has been occurring for more than a decade now, which is of great disappointment to me. But all we can do is look to turn things around and work with local suppliers to do that.
It was a conciliatory chairman who fronted farmers, albeit by teleconference, in the once proud dairying region of the Atherton Tableland, where Bega is now the new owner of the only milk factory, as part of its $430 million acquisition of Lion Dairy and Drinks. Farmers were angry that they'd missed out on any of the price increases being offered to suppliers in the south.
They wanted to feel like it was more of an alignment between southeast and north Queensland. But as I said to them, on the one hand, happy to receive that feedback and respond accordingly. But on the other, I would never want to pretend that each of those markets are exactly the same or their circumstances are exactly the same. But in this case, it was part of the feedback we received from the farmers and part of what we responded to.
Have you achieved that parity, Barry Irving?
Yes, from our perspective, we pay in kilograms of butter fat and proteins. And we are at parity with this slight change, if not just very fractionally in terms of kilos of milk solids, very slightly ahead.
Doesn't it show the full extent of the milk crisis, though, in Queensland, that you are willing to kind of respond with these price drivers?
The diminishing volumes of milk are a concern, and we need to understand all of the factors that have caused that. And you know, if I was to draw a comparison, Charlie, I've been in the industry a very long time. When I joined the industry, the Bega Valley and North Queensland were both isolated regions with both around about the same amount of farm numbers and the same amount of milk. And the difference now between those two regions is marked. And the interesting thing about that is, even though the price in North Queensland is significant above the price in the Bega Valley, it hasn't addressed the multiple reasons why supply continues to drop, and we need to actually think about strategies going forward. And it was indeed what I was talking to suppliers about today. They also need to have confidence that we want milk.
It is this commitment and Bega's vision for growing the market for locally produced and branded milk that gives third generation dairyman Colin Daly reason to hope there are better times ahead.
We know Bega, they're new to the liquid milk market, but I think they're very keen to be part of it, and they've got a good track record with adding value in brands and bringing home Australian icons, which is another thing that they've done.
Is it enough to be a driver for you personally to consider producing more milk for Bega?
We are eternally optimistic, and we will obviously be continuing to be mindful of our costs and our structures, but the future can be better for the farmers on the tableland if we can get the right marketing strategies and the consumer support that, you know, we're producing a wholesome, nutritious product. If the market can return a fair price to the farmers, I think that we can assure our future, yes.
In the meantime, the increased bonus incentive, which Bega initially only agreed to pay in the first half of the year when milk production is at its lowest, has been a welcome concession. But it won't change anything for Malcolm and Jane McGregor.
Well, yeah, I mean, the 2 cents is, you know, we'll take the 2 cents. But, Charlie, we've already made the decision that there's no future in dairy here in far north Queensland. We do think that it's going to get to the point that they're just going to say the factory is unviable. So we're on the, you know, out. We're just waiting for the offers to come in on the farm now.
So, in other words, it wouldn't have mattered what Bega put down today? It wouldn't have changed that decision?
No, it wouldn't have changed it, no. We're tired because there's more to it than just money, you know. Like, I mean, they'd have to pay us an extra 20 cents to be able to pay people enough to come in and run the farm and get the help that we require so we can get the rest we need. Like, I haven't had a day off since. Well, I think I've had 1 or 2 days off since last April. You know, Malcolm's had 3 days off in 3 years. So, yeah, 2 cents makes no difference to our future in the dairy industry, unfortunately. There's a lot of memories and emotional ties to the property and to the farm and to the enterprise itself. Malcolm was born on the farm. Our kids were born here. It was his parents' farm before that. And, yeah, it's... Every time you turn a corner, there's a memory, and, you know, so it's going to be hard to say goodbye to it.
You are leaving an industry that has been very tight-knit as well. Is there some guilt wrapped up into this, or you're making your own decision and you've got a clear conscience?
We've tried our hardest to stick at it, and we tried very hard a couple of years ago to get some political attention. I don't know, we got tired, I guess, Charlie, tired of screaming the same message over and over, and on a personal level, we had to make a decision for health reasons. And in the long term, it's not viable unless you have a secondary income. So, you know, like you run a bit of beef, which we were trying to get up and running. Our first herd of beef are about to go to market in the next 6 months if we don't sell them before that. They're just about ready. But that's a 3-year, you know, turnaround. We've finally got there, but a couple of months too late, I guess.